we still here, just to suffer? Every night, I can feel DP7, Injustice, even Starbrand. The comics I've lost, the characters I've lost, won't stop hurting. It's like they're all still there. You feel it too, don't you? I'm gonna make them give back our past. Welcome back, new U-Maniacs. Hope you enjoyed our special intros this couple go-rounds to our spinner rack here at season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics podcast. I can talk voice of the new universe. Maybe the post-season of the new universe. New universe playoffs.
All right.
All right. We are your hosts.
Steven with The War, number one.
Andy, and I guess I'm doing the introduction and maybe some occasional yapping. New Universe, of course, if you don't know by now, was launched in 1986 as a new imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a more grounded, less fantastic approach to comics. The New Universe has changed a lot in 2.5 years. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit. The U.S. government has been drafting paranormals into the army. Only one mini-series remains from the new universe, and it's ominously named
The War.
What could it possibly be about? With our podcast, you can follow along each week for whatever we've got left on the spinner rack, or just check out individual stories if you've got a favorite. Counting down to the end, 4 comics to go. Yeah, in the meantime, kickersinc.com. We've got fun stuff on there like the reading order, and you can find us at kickersinc on X.
This week we get to the end of the line for the new you, the war. The war is just a mental game between a couple of kids. I'm kidding. Well, we didn't have a tagline for it, so we dug one out of Marvel Age interview from Howard Mackey, who said at one point, before the end of the war, all of the paranormals will become pawns in a vast and deadly political game.
Okay. Dang.
Sounds good. So the Marvel Age solicit for this issue this week, the War Limited Series number one, the final saga of the new universe starts here. The world is poised on the brink of nuclear war. America sends its special paranormal fighting force to South Africa in a desperate covert operation to stop the Holocaust. You're a little late, buddy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mobilization. Oh, not the Hulk. Oh.
Right. The apocalypse, right? The end of the
yeah.
world.
Might
work better there.
Oh, yeah. Mobilization is written by Doug Murray, drawn by Tom Morgan. 48 pages, Hudson paper, New Universe graphic album, direct sales only, $350.
Still Ooh. Cheaper than the average Marvel comic now. This sized book, if released today, would be $9.99. And yeah, if we get a chance, you know, maybe compare this versus sort of the end of the regular series that we saw.
our first impression of
with
the
mixed
four.
results.
Yes. Oh my, it's finally time. We will start going in on the War Limited Series number one, aka the War Book One, which usually the thing doesn't have a month. So it's just 1989. And we believe hit the stands March 7th, 1989. So that was came out the same week as that last issue of DP7. The cover is same one we saw in the ads for the war. There is it's a sort of a frontal shot of several soldiers all like holding up are those M1s, M16s.
M16, yeah, that's the classic Vietnam era one.
Right.
With a
So,
mighty grimace on Jack's face there.
yeah, we've got we've gone through them before. We can see Jack Magnaconti front and center, Pitbull, Blur, a couple of the guys from the draft, and a woman who we didn't know what to make of.
Yeah, Lady J from G.I. Joe, basically.
There we go.
Do you want to say the back cover now, or does the back cover go at the end? The back cover, I actually think, looks better.
It's pretty nice. It's a Bill Sienkiewicz type of thing there. Yeah. It is a sort of a shot of Harlan Mook, aka Blowout, who I remember from the draft. It's a very sort of abstract piece with the sort of that simultaneously shows him exploding, people dying, some broken glasses that may be also his.
Yeah,
It's
there's
pretty
skulls
nice.
in the reflection of the glasses and like skulls in the explosion. It's very scullular.
Yeah, actually, if I was to get a be on the market for original art, that's a pretty nice one.
Yeah, if you could find that one,
It is a
a certain moderator of the Facebook page probably already owns it.
good. I know they had put some of the at least the front covers on sale on one of those auction websites just a few months ago, so it was out there, but a little rich for your podcaster's blood.
Right. Anything
So
above $50 and I'm out.
they inside we've got a we don't have like one of those wall of texts, luckily. We do have
Right.
the credits, and as we mentioned, Doug Murray, the writer. Doug, we remember mostly from his work in Merc. He wrote Merc 5 through 12 and the annual. We were not super happy with that run, but it had its moments.
Right.
Murray was
The
sort of
annual was okay.
the annual tied it together nicely. The he was doing still doing well at this time, having started The Nom, which was a pretty popular book, going over realistic events in the Vietnam War. So he's still sort of the go-to guy when Marvel thinks war. So.
Yeah. I think that even like that Marvel Age thing is like, who else better to write war things than the guy who was in a war, who will make write war comics for the rest of his life?
Murray didn't. I looked at the credit, the whatever the credits each of these guys had, and yeah, Murray what didn't stick around too much longer, honestly.
They ran out of war stories to give him, probably.
Probably we're a little tired of Vietnam. We're getting into the 90s here. Let's see. Tom Morgan, the artist, had done some of the finishes on some of the Star Brand issues, and so we won't hold that against him. He went on to some good work later. Also, I guess.
Punisher 2099.
There you go. And I want to shout out to Paul Mounts, the colorist. Michael Heisler, the letterer. Lettering's okay, but the coloring will maybe hold. Describe it a little better later, but it's a it's advanced coloring at least in the book, which I don't think we had in the draft or the pit. Those were just
No.
kind of flat color, right?
It must be what they needed the Hudson paper for.
Could be. Flipping on over, we've got a we do have a page that just has the title of the book, Mobilization, and a nice
Waste of a page. Got
waste of
it.
a
Yep.
page. And we get into the meat, the story itself, and it is what we call that, like a satellite image, it's supposed to be. And this is all translated from the Russian. And we've got a group of men in a dark sort of super villain lair kind of a room with a lot of telescreens behind them.
Yeah.
There's
They're
a
all sitting like side by side too, which I think is kind of cute. Like all these like big important Russian world leaders, and they're like it's kind of like when you if you sit next to somebody in the booth at the diner instead of across from them, like they're all lined up nice, like touching arm to arm. I guess so they
Yeah.
can see the screens, but they just seem kind of funny.
It's a yeah, it's one of those like for our viewing more than a naturalistic pose, but they kind of go over some background with mostly over the pit and the draft. So they're looking at some satellite images of smoking hole. And they're saying, there it is, gentlemen, the former US city of Pittsburgh. I understand they call it the pit now, comrade. Okay, the comrade stuff. The pit, then, a boiling hole in the heart of their country and the grave of millions of their people, destroyed by some unknown, unknowable force. These are all, you know, different people talking, but we see there it's like four generals or some high-ranking military types and a guy who's not it, who's just in a suit or something, civilian control, whatever they are.
Could be a
And
lab coat guy, it's hard to say.
they talk about how the Americans are afraid of whatever did it. It's a force that must be uncovered, controlled before it can destroy us all. And then they talk a little bit. How did the Americans react to this? With witch hunts, searching out and conscripting all of their paranormals. And now we're looking at pictures from Fort Benning, where we all the paranormals were drafted and went through training, preparing out to war against the being who had the power to create this pit. And they call themselves lovers of freedom. Man, it's post 9/11. Whatever.
Notably, they all spread out their chairs now too, so
Yeah, the table's a little more of a C shape when you get a nice overhead shot. You know, you're all on, you know, one level, comrade, you know what I mean? But anyway. So they talk about, how can we stop it, sir? Your own people have had great difficulty finding paranormals in our own homeland. What can we do? Yeah, the Russians only had a couple of paranormals when last we saw them at Psi-Force. So it's a little, they're behind the paranormal arms race with the US.
right. And a bunch of them died, and one of them got converted to Psi-Force. So, like, they basically had like two paranormals left from the whole KGB thing.
So the KGB, they know nothing. And for the premier to pass this nonsense to the Americans, what are they talking about? We don't know yet. But my God, look at the screen. And we see a shot of, I believe it's Washington, D.C. And there's clouds, like an explosion has happened, perhaps.
By the way, their satellite must be like flying like 60 feet over the ground next to the Pentagon.
It's like from the roof of something in Washington. I don't, yeah, I they're like satellite, blah, 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 but you know, they're getting multiple views here, so whatever it is. We cut it into sort of like some vague shapes, and someone's saying, I can barely see, so dark and cloudy, and then it sort of snaps into focus. And
Kind of
he's
like we're
like,
seeing through this person's eyes, yeah.
yeah, it's first person view. and there's an odd popping sound, just indescribable. And he's there, just like that. And it's our old friend, Harlan Mook, blowout from the draft, who we were kind of wondering what happened to that guy.
Right. So his power, he can teleport, but when he leaves, like where he disappears from, big explosion.
Right. It's probably, I think it's related to the how far he goes, bigger explosion or something. So he says, good day, gentlemen. So nice of you to meet me. And so he's teleported in, and these there's some guards or soldiers standing around, looking a little taken aback. And he says, my name is Harlan Mook. I think your superiors are referring to me as Blowout. Blowout, eh? We'll show you a blowout, punk. So these guards or something, MPs, start running to tackle him. And Harlan says, what a showing. You gentlemen have reaffirmed my faith in the US military. Shut up. The army don't pay us to think. Take the little creep. Thank you so much. Ta-ta. He smiles and explosion. Right away, I'll just point out that the art is not what
Very
you would call
cartoony.
it. It's very cartoony, or it kind
Yeah.
of comes and goes of cartoony,
But this
and
current page is very cartoony. And then the next page, not so much.
yeah, he is like, it's like a child body with a cartoon, adult head or something. But well, I'll say it. So it wanders in and out of a realistic style, but we flip the page, and it's our friend Keith Remzin, aka Night Mask, who's waking up. He used to call himself Night Mask. He used to think of himself as a master of dreams, and he has been the one who's been sort of watching this scene through someone else's eyes. He used to think he could make a difference, tell the sane from the insane. He used to think he could help people, help his country. Anyway, he's pretty shaken up by experiencing this explosion, which actually Keith had some explosions of his own, that he was in
Right.
a coma and all that. But
Also, editor's note, Keith Remzin is not a mind reader.
this was a good point. I'm immediately concerned that, like, the writer doesn't actually know what Keith's power is. But he has been using whatever his power is to supposedly mind read someone, one of these guards who was there at that explosion.
Was the arms in the previous page Night Mask arms then?
Maybe, yeah, I want to say yes.
It would kind of make sense, but then he's obviously like he's viewing through a soldier, but also maybe it's that blonde flat top guy who's just in non-cartoon form.
Yeah, that he's got gloves on when he's sort of from first person point of view, and then we see the blonde flat top guy who's just dressed normally, and then we when he wakes up, he talks to this investigator, and they say, they've been giving stimulants to one of the guys who was there, and we see he's like a corpse now. Frankly,
Yep.
so he's a little. I remember now, Callahan. You used your damn stimulants on him. Let me get in. Or maybe the guy was sleeping. But wait, no. Then you would use stimulants on him.
He's
Okay.
unconscious, but they were trying to keep him alive, I guess, is the best I could figure. Though stimulants doesn't really make sense in that case.
Let's just say there's with his focus on wartime stuff, and I'm a little concerned that Murray is not a guy who like understands, paranormal powers and sort of how to work them. But okay.
Right.
Anyway, this investigator Callahan, he would have died in any case with those injuries. At least in this way, he served his country right to the end. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you're going to tell me he would have wanted it that way. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. but we wanted it that way. This looks sick. That's the important thing this time.
Hold on
Now
a second. Does that guy have a cigarette in his mouth and in his hand in the middle panel? The
to
guy's freaking
he is hardcore. It could be just like he's blowing smoke out of his mouth.
Oh yeah, I bet that's it. Yeah. Dang, you ruined it.
Andy's
Double
impressed.
smoke guy was pretty tough, but now he's just regular smoke guy.
He's lighting one up for Keith. I don't smoke. Hey, you better start now, kid. You're never gonna get a
I'll
gravelly
smoke
voice
another one
without
just in your honor. Now I'm smoking three.
it. Anyways, if we find out anything, it was any worth any price he paid. And the camera is drawn back, and we see that this explosion is actually in the wall of the Pentagon. Speaking of 9/11, it looks just like that.
It does look just like that, yeah.
Wow. So it's a big smoke billowing up, and Keith is talking. I learned it was Mook, all right. The man I told the army was sane. My fault. All these people, my fault. So, yeah, in the draft, Keith had done psych profiles of each of the draftees, and he had said that Harlan Mook, who was terribly picked on, was okay and ready to serve, fit to
I mean,
serve.
it's actually kind of a nice connection, just because I think we felt at the time that he was seeing all these problematic people and always passing everybody. So I didn't really like that characterization of Night Mask in the first place, but like this follow up to it, it's like, oh well, actually that's kind of really is a big screw up by passing along clearance to all of these psychotics is, you know, like, oh, oops, consequences.
Yeah, I do like the idea that probably, I don't know if he was pressured to put past them all, or he just don't know what it would take to impress him if Mook didn't, you know what I mean? It's,
Right, and Haldeman too,
yeah.
right?
Anyway, as Keith Remsen comes to grips with the agony of what has happened, a car pulls into the Pentagon's north parking lot, and we see a sports car with a woman in it. She's just curious about the smoke, but she doesn't understand what's happened at first. Oh my God. But she sort of figures it out. So she talks to the guard for a second, who tells her nothing. I don't know, ma'am, some sort of flap. You'll have to wait until the security office, until the security alert is over. In the office, please. She goes inside, and we start getting some like more thought balloons from the guard who is stationed in this office, while the woman stands at the desk and or the counter, sort of tapping her ID card.
Yeah, like impatiently, like tap in, let's get this going.
Yeah, and the guard, you're sort of getting reading his mind. Uppity broad. Never should have let woman in the army in the first place.
Tap, tap, tap.
Tap, tap, tap. Now they're officers trying to run the whole show. Tap, 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 tap. Some kind of flap today. All the smoke. Wish she'd stop at the blasted car. Don't know what she's trying to. Tap, 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 tap. Jesus. For someone who knows what you're thinking to go on and on. We get a it continues, although the color changes, which sometimes I was going to say the lettering. I don't think it's the letterer's fault that like the coloring in the word balloons is sometimes
Black
so dark.
on blue is a little rough, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, pushy little, there she is. Ought to be back on the street. Let's see if she's as good as she thinks. But with this damn economy, just a few more feet, and the blacks getting all the good jobs. There, and I guess us getting the shaft all the time. This
All these
dude.
DEI hires and
It's the most relatable guy I've seen in the book so far, and with everyone complaining about. No, anyway, so
Well, there
someone's.
was that Nazi in Merck back then. I don't know.
Someone's coming up behind her, and we don't get an action shot of it, but She has spun around and smacked someone in a much fancier uniform than hers. I see your reputation is deserved, but hitting a superior officer, well, no. Major? The captain will be coming with me now, private. They salute off the guard and come this way, Blizzard. We want to show you something unusual. What caused the hole? Don't worry about it. Flip over, and we have an interesting sort of video presentation that we're looking at the tail end of, I guess. And so, my American friends, you see the situation. We've got a guy kind of cream colored in a jungle somewhere. And he's got that kind of, rebel clothing.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a South American revolutionary from early Merc or something, you know.
Yeah, he could be any like third world country kind of
Got the olive dread.
promo we can get. Yeah. So, for years, my people have been fighting to regain this, our homeland. For the same years, you have been shipping the weapons of war to those who would keep it from us. This must stop, and stop now. You have had a warning. You call it the Pit. It could have been any other city in your country. It could be Washington next time. Yes, or your hometown. No. Actually, that was the Pit.
Right.
Think of this and make the right decision. And then we see an explosion. It's not much different from Mook
Wait, if he
exploding, but.
exploded the video camera, how did they record it?
Question. The video goes to whatever static, and someone says, that is our problem. That videotape was given to the president personally by the Soviet premier, says the general looking dude in a room. Now it's kind of more boardroom. We've got a nice long table with about four guys on each side,
Right,
and
the
none of this
Americans
is
know
like
how to sit
holding
at a
hands.
table, unlike those weird footsie playing Russians.
Don't know what's going on over there, man. But we keep it, no home
They got smokes and file folders.
Oh, they're smoking like a chimney, but.
Yeah.
Our own intelligence has confirmed that it is genuine. Isn't that so, Captain? Indeed, sir. Best analysis concludes there are no special camera tricks or special effects in that video. What that man did was real. The president believes that man was responsible for the pit, responsible for the loss of millions of American lives, and the president will not buckle knuckle under to blackmail. Sort of a civilian dude there. So now it's our job, says the general. We created the paranormal force for just this sort of eventuality. Now we need a very special person, one who can lead this extraordinary force into battle. Jack Magna. And we found just the person. Magna Conti, Major Kathy Blizzard. Oh.
Oh, Kathy Blizzard.
Oh.
Inventor of the DQ Blizzard.
She pulls out a cup and then holds it upside down just to prove it's her.
There was actually administrative miscommunication. The army thought that she had ice powers.
Who gives a person the code name Blizzard? All
I mean,
they
I guess
can
that's her
do.
real last name, though, so.
It's a thing. I don't know. But yeah, Major is higher than what she walked in the room with. So she's like, that's the carrot. Now that's what's the stick, I wonder. So she's going to get promoted and take over the paranormal force. We have an interesting page where she's kind of reading some minds. Major Blizzard, a woman, another of those freaks, black as the ace. Oh, she's black? Oh,
Okay.
not. She is, yeah, she's also very like cream colored.
Yeah, with the coloring and the lighting and stuff, it's kind of hard to tell. Yeah.
I don't, yeah, I before this, I didn't really have like a clear mental image of her, but I don't know, young Halle Berry, maybe Sade, I don't know,
Yeah,
something kind of
very
like that.
definitely very light-skinned black person, if anything, but.
She's, as you would expect, an attractive. As they are goes. Nice butt, though. Should let a real soldier get rid of all the freaks. So these are, I don't know what all the other guys in the room are thinking. She gets up and makes a speech. Let me get this straight, General. You want me to take this pack of untrained, undisciplined pack of, I don't know what to call them, into the bush, the jungles of Mozambique, for God's sake, and find one man? Mozambique is Africa, actually. Wake up to me now. Why not when this project started? We could have trained them properly, gotten female paranormals, and been ready to handle this. Man, okay. Now they know everybody thinks of them as freaks. How am I supposed to motivate them? Lead them? How? Come now, Major. For years you've insisted that female officers are as good as male, that they should be allowed into combat and not shunted off into desk work. Then you started wanting to draft them, and we, political, ixnay. No. Now's your chance to prove it. Besides, you're one of the freaks yourself, aren't you?
Jeez.
Doop, doop, doop.
That's
Motive, a weird motivation,
not very
whatever.
subtle.
Yeah, they know she's a paranormal.
It's kind of like they're
Why?
setting her up to fail, but
That too.
that feels good.
Why? I mean, yeah. Why not? If you wanted this person involved, why leave Jack Magna Conti involved, or thinking he was in charge? I don't know. Anyway, the scene shifts over to the Alamo in oh, is that San Antonio, Texas? Thousands of miles away, across the street from a Five and Dime, stands one of the shrines of American freedom. The Alamo greets scores of visitors every day, but never before one like Harlan Mook. We see Harlan in a crowd of, normies, and
Tourists.
The tour guide is talking about how this was part of the original mission church. The central portion became a fortress. Mook's thinking 185 good men died here. Wonder if any of them were like me. Bitter and psychotic. Talk about Jim Bowie, unable to stand because of his fever, waited for the Mexican army here, a pistol in each hand. Mook thinks, I'll bet he would have liked to do this. And there's an explosion. And as
I
Mook
blew up the Alamo.
and as he transports away, 150-year-old fortress and several dozen tourists disappear from the face of the earth. Yeah, that's, I don't know, man.
Pentagon to Alamo is kind of an odd grouping of choices, but all right.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, I mean, the Pentagon would have to be fortified as well. I just think, like, the Alamo's got to be pretty solid in terms of.
Yeah. Well, either way, like, if you're trying to stick it to the government, the Pentagon, but then a bunch of tourists.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, there's like hearts and minds, I always kind of wondered if, like, the Statue of Liberty wouldn't have been a good target for the 9/11 guys if they wanted
Yeah.
something that
Well, I
would
mean,
sort
he
of
was
strike
dis
at the heart of America,
Mook was disgruntled from the army, and then he went after the president. Right. And then the Pentagon. So then there's kind of a connection there, but then the Alamo seems a little random. But
That's, yeah. He was supposed to be going after like recruiting stations and stuff, but this is all we get, so it's a I don't know. Yeah, if there's something I can think of that's more clearly related than the Pentagon, I would just keep coming back to the Pentagon a few more times if I were him,
five times at least. I mean,
at
come
least one for each.
on.
So the scene switches over to what just says thousands of miles away in a room where heat and humidity are barely altered by a softly whirring fan. We see, like, yeah, just a room with some shadowy men in it. Jungle outside. So this is somehow tied into the jungle mission, suppose we presuppose. Well, my friends, it has worked. I can't believe the Americans could be so gullible. They are desperate to find who is responsible for their pit, and anxious people will believe much. Still, without the Russians, is that not a fine joke? The Russians helping us? Well, what do we do now? Now we wait.
All right.
So whatever's going on,
Bigness.
yeah, there's stuff going on behind the scenes that our guys don't know yet. And we finally switch over to the paranormal training facility, Fort Benning, Georgia. We see a target sort of cut out of a figure, and we start seeing bullet holes going through it, and it goes through the eyes and nose and the mouth. There's some dialogue. Seen that film Lethal Weapon, Captain? I've not seen Lethal Weapon in so long. I have no idea what he's referring to here. Do you
It
know?
might have been a scene where the guy, like doing like the police target practice thing, makes a smiley face in the image. Maybe it's been a while.
Well, that's what this guy's doing. He makes a nice smiley face, and then puts a bullet through between the where the eyes go. He said, "I don't know what the big deal is. It's a piece of cake. Know what I mean?" And we pull back and see it's a guy with a sniper rifle. It's just one of those M16s again, right?
Yeah. It looks like the Honky Tonk Man.
He's got a bandana, and same behind him. It's our old buddy Jack Magna Conti. Maybe for you, Sano. Is apparently the name of the shooter here. I can barely see that target. I'd have a heck of a time hitting it. Jack's in. Oh, I didn't go back and check to see if it's the same outfit he had before, but it's certainly similar. It's something cross between a U.S. Army and Captain America. So it's got a little flair, but it's not like over the top. Well, anyway. The other guy, the shooter, is in standard fatigues, like I said, with the bandana. Although in Kickers Inc., Jack was always the one with the bandana. What's going on?
Maybe let him borrow
Whoever can shoot the most targets gets to wear my bandana for the day. Paranormal team runs to the target. Nice shooting, you're a real asset. Heck, Captain, anybody can hit a stationary target. Let me show you something fancy. So he throws up a pack of cards, I guess. Or Jack throws it up in the air. And Sano pulls his sidearm out and does a spread of shots. And when they come down, he's got a Ace of or eight of spades, and it is got a bullet through each spade. Looks good to me, real impressive work. Now, if we could just teach the others. Anyway, as they talk, we've got Blurper comes up, and, heavy on the coloring effects here for to show Blur's speed. Message for you, sir. Walters, don't do that. Sorry, sir, you're wanted at headquarters ASAP. All right, tell him I'll be there. He just psh, vanishes. Man, I could have used a receiver like that back in my football days. Oh, well. Oh, now we're just dishing on Dasher Corbin? Is that it, Jack? You've forgotten your friends, man.
No respect.
Several minutes later. Okay, Top, who wants me? He strolls on down the hall. Major Blizzard, huh? Some sort of cryogenic power person? Always some new hotshot from the Pentagon. Well, let this one know this isn't some Mickey Mouse outfit. He walks into the room and gives like a big smile and a salute. Captain Magna Conti, reporting as ordered, sir. I mean, ma'am. Yes, Captain Kathy Blizzard there. Captain Magna Conti, is that what you call yourself? And he stands there saluting. She starts dressing him down. Well, Captain, you may not realize it, but this is the Army, not some comic book convention. What do you call that suit you're wearing? I was told you were a soldier. I guess I was misinformed. Now get out of here. Get a real uniform on and report to me as a soldier, not some cut-rate superhero. You understand?
Yowza.
He's leaving and he's thinking, somehow I don't think we're gonna get along. And he's, it may just be like the colorist, but it looks like he's got tears running down his face in the upper panel.
Yeah, I think it's
Like,
just coloring though.
yeah, it's just like blue shadow or something. As he's walking out, he just kind of has like an angry expression. And she is also thinking, somehow I don't think we're gonna get along. Not sure if this is like military protocol to like establish the pecking order or something, but I mean, they gave him that uniform. I don't know what the hell she's yelling at him for.
I think like
Secondly,
all the general dudes around when they assigned her were like such a-holes that like then she's probably taking it out on him.
that's actually a good insight. She was also, you know, just a captain herself like a day ago. So this, like, well, captain, blah blah blah. Okay, your little mental evaluation of Kathy Blizzard aside, we move on back to what used to be the symbol of Texas independence. This is his work, all right. Oh, I'm glad we brought you along there, Keith. Okay, they're dead, every one of them. I feel sick. Don't take it so hard, Lieutenant. You had no way. I should have known. It was my job to know. He's got to be stopped. But how? How do I find him? Switch back from that to Fort Benning, where Jack has, yes, changed into a normal fatigues. Captain Magna Conner reporting his order, ma'am. Much better, Captain. Much better. Now you at least look like a soldier. And what's up, Major? Paranormal force has a mission, real mission, straight from the really big boys at the Pentagon. And she, I guess, shows him that video. Have a look at this. Tell you more than I ever could. And then we get, you know, the sort of background becomes the close-up face of this rebel leader or whatever. So now you understand the nature of the problem, and intelligence is sure he is. Yes, if he's really the one who created the pit, and that's going to take all we've got. Oh no. He's going to be a tough nut to crack, a nut that's going to take all we've got. Okay. We get another sort of nice cartoonish picture of Kathy on the top of the next page. I don't
Yeah,
know
like
why
this
that one.
one bothers me the most because like the top image is cartoonish and then the lower image is not. Like same freaking
Yeah, it's we yeah, it's like a manga where like you go from chibi to normal or something,
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, I don't know. It's
Jack
a
gets a big nosebleed as he looks at him.
doesn't explain why you. Why did they pick you to lead the group instead of me, who's been practicing with them for a year and a half?
Maybe
I
they should have a
guess.
tennis match to settle who gets to be the leader.
We've heard all about you and your tennis matches with women. That's easy, Captain. It's because they want a freak to lead the freaks. Let me show you. Shake. She holds out her hand. So she holds hands with him. He's like, I don't know. Why should she's inside my mind? It's easy, Captain. Don't you understand now? And we've got a. Yeah, a more realistic group of faces that are kind of going through a spectrum of like from him to her. And my God, it's her. I can feel, understand, hear. Captain, I'm just communicating with what you call a mind. Oh, she just never doesn't let up. That's why they want me in charge. He is also a paranormal. I don't know. Anyway. Get out of my head, as you wish, Captain, for the moment. But someday, now shall we discuss the plan? So, I mean, when she was introduced, she was reading someone's mind who was just sort of in the room with her. So,
I'm guessing like she can read minds, but then contact makes a strong connection like between the two, right? Because like he could kind of tell it wasn't just passive at that point.
you could hear her thoughts.
Right.
Okay, so she'll. Flip on over to Oceans Away. Harlan Mook materializes in a busy marketplace in war toward Iran.
Two
And
pages that you would not have expected
where did
looking
this
at this
come
book.
from? You're in Iran? It's a it's the most like non it's a very like normal everyday scene in this small marketplace, except it's also like the says in a second capital of Iran. This is easy. I just have to think about it, and there I am. So Harlan is teleported in to this market, and if we were wondering like how is he going finding these places, he just says he just has to think about where he wants to go. He doesn't have to, like a lot of teleporters in fiction, you have to have been there before, see a picture of it or something. He just thinks about it, and there he is.
Got the cheat codes.
So he says to a otherwise nondescript Arabic man, "Ah, the Ayatollah, I presume. An American here."
Just a regular dude. He just thinks everybody's the Ayatollah. You racist.
Everyone. A note translated from the Persian, which is AKA Farsi, I believe. Anyway, whoever it is that he's accosted, this poor marketplace dweller, guards, remove this devil until I decide. Jabber all you want, fuzz face. I don't know, you don't know it, but I hold all the cards here. He's staring at the Ayatollah. In a moment, I'll teleport out of here, and you'll be just a memory that'll start a war nobody will stop. So, my American devil, you would start a war, would you? But you do not really want to leave, do you? You speak English? Not really, small one. I speak to your mind, your small mind. Do you really think to destroy the hand of Allah so easily? No, little man, you will not destroy the Ayatollah. You will help him change the world. And we get a
Ooh.
nice, like, glowing eye or
It's like,
something.
is everybody a mind reader? Like, what are the stats on this one? Like, whoa. One in a million for paranormal powers,
I
five
sure.
every 100,000 are mind readers and mind control. Anyway.
It's more strange to me that like we've gone through all this stuff with Reagan being paranormal, and then possibly when the Russian leader being switched out for paranormal, that was at least in discussion at some point. And so, we're getting to a pretty high, an unnaturally high level of world leaders or paranormal powers. Anyway, we're back to Fort Benning, and we've got a lineup of the whole platoon, I think, that is ready to go. And we've actually got some new ones. We've got Jeff Walters, Blur, Gaylord Picaro, Pitbull, Garth Mengling, Gridlock, Chris Barrett, Metallurgist. Those are all familiar from the draft or their own books, DP7 mostly.
Right.
Then we got this new guy, Vincent Sano, codename Shooter,
Gym
Bob.
shooter?
I was gonna say, really? You wanted to get a shooter, codename Shooter, into the new universe? No? Okay. Bob Loser. No joke. Okay.
Loser.
Codename Pretty Boy, Jacob Lau, codename NORAD, Brian Pickett, codename Troll, and Jonathan Matthews, codename Mapper. Most of those names aren't very what you might call descriptive in terms of what their powers are, unless Mapper is. I could fold a map into any direction.
If I had to guess, Mapper and NORAD might have some overlapping power set, but hey, I'm sure since this is a very long introduction comic book, we'll get to know these characters and their powers a bunch, right?
It was certainly sold to us in that Marvel Age article that like an exciting new bunch of paranormals that they're
Right. I
keeping under their hat.
mean, there's still a lot of pages left. I'm sure we'll get to see them all in action doing cool things, right?
Tell me more, Brian Pickett, aka Troll. What's your story? Live
Once I get
under
the
a
dial-up
bridge, I
working, I'll
guess.
be trolling everybody.
So looking at their lineup, we've got Jack Magnaconti, which I guess we didn't go into it, but Jack had been, of course, the lead of Kickers Inc. for
Yeah.
first year.
So you got Jack and Pitbull as the muscle. You've got Shooter, who seems terribly useful. Blur, of course, could be really useful, and then the bunch of dudes.
Yeah, Gridlock and Metallurgist were limited in their abilities if you want to be generous about it.
I can fly ahead in the sky, very obviously, on my hubcap and get shot first.
So Jack is saying that, "Men, this is Major Blizzard, your new commander. Sergeant, introduce me. I want to get to know them better," says Blizzard. And Sergeant Haldeman, for some reason not introduced, says, "All right, you Yardbirds, get to the lady wants to meet you. Make nice." So she shakes hands with each of them, and we get a little bit of internal monologue from them. Mostly,
Yeah,
like,
but then
they are pretty horny.
it feels like it's blurring together multiple characters' monologues or something. Like it's just, like the first two you can kind of figure out, and then it starts to really kind of get messy.
Yeah, the Blur, even Picaro is like, she's an officer and it's been a long time. But most of them think about their families or going back home and maybe something about like how to get out of here, you know. But none of them really sort of jump out as with anything too particular.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any anything to hide. So she says, "All right, listen up. You're going on a mission in 4 days. I want you ready and rested, so I'm authorizing a pass for all of you. Report back here no later than 0600 Monday. Is that clear?" "Yes, ma'am."
Right.
Free to change of clothes later, and everyone's heading for a bus. And yeah, even Pitbull and these guys are all just like, "All right, a couple of days off, and maybe we'll just leave completely if we can." Certainly Sano and NORAD, Yao, Lao, I guess, are
Yeah.
talking. "Don't talk about it, man. Wait till we're clear." And as the bus pulls away to take them into town, Sergeant and Haldeman and Kathy Blizzard are talking. "They think they're not coming back." "Well, that's what they think, Sergeant. Let's make sure they're wrong, shall we? Whatever the major wants, man." Short time later, bus drops off the passengers into this wherever it is, Georgia small town. Pitbull immediately sees there's a flaming star playing at the local theater and says, "You boys look around, I'm getting out of here." Elvis Presley? Movie? Really? Okay. It's time for Pitbull to roam free. One more block, and Sergeant Haldeman steps out of an alleyway ahead of time. Just taking a walk. I guess I'll join the others. Blast. This is a much more subdued Pitbull than we ever saw.
Yeah. How did he get out ahead of him anyway? It's like they watched the bus leave, whatever.
Meanwhile, down the street, Sano and Yao Lao are trying to what you call
Hotwire a car.
hotwire a car. Thank you. Man, 50s juvenile delinquent lingo is really out the window. He's like, "We'll touch these wires together, and just like in Brooklyn, this guy seems to have like a Native American vibe going, and he's like, well, just like in Brooklyn." Okay,
I
I
still
don't
think
know.
it looks like the 80s wrestler Honky Tonk Man.
Okay, so they're trying to go, but something's holding them back, and they look out the back, and we got a nice full play page splash of Jack Magnacani doing the old raise the car up by its rear bumper. Before the white event, he wowed them on the football field with his grace and speed. After the white event, he wowed them with his strength and power. "Playtime's over, boys. Go have a drink with your friends." He's still wowing them.
Didn't
So,
that like intro to him been when he first appeared?
I mean,
Yeah.
that's a classic move, you know. I remember from like 70s, you know, Wonder Woman, $6 Million Man kind of shows, you know. That was like a, you'd always be doing the lift the car up, and everyone's like, "Huh?" But anyway, he puts it down and nice job, Captain. They'll remember that a long time. That voice in my head. And actually, she's just standing behind him. Major, I'm a freak too, remember? No comment. Yeah, they can go home now. They won't try anything. They won't try anything else tonight. You sure? I'm sure. Okay, the mind reading thing works out, I guess. She's thinking while she's walking away, she's really something. I'd sure like haven't seen my wife since she's got more of, that's enough, Captain. In fact, that's more than enough. Control yourself. Yeeps. Sorry, Major. Let me just say, if there's any women out there who actually have mind reading powers, do not randomly scan dudes standing around you.
Yeah, that's not gonna
Not a good
reaffirm
idea.
faith in in humanity.
Not gonna do much for you. Anyway, so back inside, the bar pit bull is on his third beer. Don't count, lady, just keep them coming. Let me see, Metallurgist, Gridlock, and Blur hanging out together. That new major is really something, isn't she? She's hot, all right. She sort of reminds me of my sister Michelle. Ah, man, you're always a downer now, Blur. I gotta tell you. I won't forget, and I never forget. Not
They're
until I
kind of
get the
trying to like
goons who offer my
oversell
tea.
this character a little bit, like with everybody's kind of drooling over her, and like she's the supreme badass something.
Yes, I mean it. She is new, so okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's yeah. Anyway, they're like, "Hey, cool, Jeff. Let's have a little fun." So Gridlock makes his cage, hold up Wow, and drops the peanuts. But Blur,
Well, clearly those are pretzels, dude.
sorry, barfing. Ouch. Anyway, I believe Jack is over in the corner. That's right, boys. Have a good time. Enjoy yourselves while you can. Or maybe that's just some random serial killer who's going to
I
kill
think that's
everyone
Haldeman because
later.
he's got the hat.
Oh, you're right. The hat.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that. Totally. The hat's on a table, so Haldeman's not wearing the hat. He could just as well could be in disguise. Anyway, on the other side of the world, deep underground, other men are not enjoying themselves.
That's the terrible transition.
Oh, and I'm it, it. It's the same thing room we started in with the table full of Russians, but the whatever the heck they're showing on the screens. There's
Some
like
weird, like,
some
'90s
simple,
screensaver kind of things.
yeah, some that's like computer generated, but then there's one that's like a wall of eyes that is just disturbing. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to be. On the right, that could be from Chem 3D, like a molecular model or something.
It's
Sort of bubbles together. Oh,
yep.
come on, man. Don't leave me hanging. Anyway, so one of them is saying in Russian, so our intelligence sources tell us nothing. And someone bombs the Pentagon, and we cannot find out who did it. Their Alamo, some sort of shrine in Texas, is destroyed. Again, we find out nothing. What is our intelligence playing at? They want a war. So interestingly, like they have their own problems with their intelligence services there. Our people can tell us nothing, Comrade Chairman, but they do alert us to a new problem. Oh, for crying out loud. Our revolutionary brothers in Cuba are very concerned about this. Concerned the Americans will somehow blame it on them and take action. It's ridiculous. Americans would never tell that to the Cubans, sir. They're most apprehensive about the American paranormal force. So I don't know if I kind of. I mean, the paranormal force is there in Georgia, so like through proximity, the
Yeah.
Cubans are like, or maybe
I
just
mean,
the South
are the
Americans
higher
are.
ups in the Russian government in 1989 really sweating the Cubans that much?
It's a good question. It's a good question. We'll have time to talk about the actual timeline of 1989 at some point during the series. It's interesting because we start off
Yeah.
the
Or we could
Russians
just
still
give up and
there.
talk about the Taylor Swift album 1989.
Taylor Swift album 1989.
Get with it, man.
Anyway, were they super interested in what the Cubans had to say? Good question. Anyway, this has gone too far. We must have better information. Colonel Catch Lusk, the American paranormals will be heading for South Africa soon. You must beat them there, and then you must observe and report to us. As you wish, Comrade Commander. And he's like, as he's standing up, he looks bigger than Pitbull. And if the Americans do something foolish, just tell us, Colonel. We will make the decisions. As you wish, comrades. As you wish.
I'm just
Now switch
dying for them
over.
to like send Mind Wolf or something, you know. Give me some something.
Our old friend Sergei Vladimirov. Anything.
Anyway.
I'm sure his fingers would have healed by now. In the tight passages of the Persian Gulf, a Kuwaiti tanker, newly fitted with American papers and flags, hurries to its destiny. So you've got one of these oil super tankers going through the Persian Gulf. It is accompanied by the newest and most effective American patrol craft. We can't. It's some large ish ship. I don't really know. Naval, no,
Yeah,
American
my
naval.
boat knowledge begins and ends with the board game Battleship, so
All I know
not an
is there's
aircraft carrier.
those PT boats from World War II. I know what those look like. And then everything else is like, I haven't played Battleship, so I don't remember really, like, is a battleship bigger than a destroyer, or is that bigger than a
Yes.
cruiser? Okay.
Battleship's the biggest.
Okay. I don't think it's that.
No.
Anyway, the crew of this super tanker is actually like all like holding rifles, getting ready for, I don't know, Somali pirates or something. Crew is heavily armed and ready for any challenge, or so they think. And up on the bridge, someone pops in. It's Harlan, except now he's in a uniform. So more pawns of the American devil, huh?
Oh dear.
Yes.
He's been radicalized.
Oh my gosh. Are you watching too many internet videos there, Harlan? What's what happened to you, man? Good morning, Captain. Who are you? I was once called Blowout, an odd name. No, I'm merely Colonel Harlan Mook of the Iranian Home Guard. Captain, in the name of the people of Iran, I call on you to turn this craft over to me immediately. You must be joking. Man, take this fool. No, Captain, you are the fool. You are the fool. You fight against Allah and the justice of the Iranian people. You are the true fool, and now it is time to die like one. Boom. Harlan takes off, of course, and we have a purple word box that's difficult to read. But it seems to say that Harlan teleports away and all the crude oil explodes, and they can hear this explosion away halfway across the Mediterranean.
I thought they were on the little warship, the guard ship, but then.
I thought he was on the oil tanker
Yeah.
itself, but
I think it's because the panel before he teleports in, they're showing what's pro. No, yeah, you're right. It's the other ship. I see the red stripe. All right. Never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I mean, they introduce two ships, and then they're like, he shows up on one of them, and you're like,
Look how impressive this guard ship is, and then we that does nothing, and we ignore it for the rest. All
exactly. Monday morning,
Yeah.
Fort Benning, 0630 hours. He said 600. Son of a. Anyway, Pitbull has a headache, hangover. Come on, Picaro, let's move it out. Come on, Sarge, give me a break. You used to be tough, Picaro. My heart bleeds for you. Now move it. Double time. Pitbull, don't take all morning. So the men turn for a last lingering look at U.S. soil, and you've got this whole crew. They'll take a look around, and they're getting on a C-130 or whatever it's called. All but one of them. Come on, guys, let's get the show on the road. Yeah, Blur Jeff is ready and raring to go. As the ramp of the C-5 closes, each member of the paranormal team is left with his thoughts and his fears, and we do not get a lot out of them.
No, not much.
Kathy's thinking, I hope we can handle this. I just wish. Jack's thinking, well,
Whose ever idea it was to like give fragmented sentences as these people's thoughts, like please never do this again. Like
I at
I don't
least.
want to struggle to guess what I'm supposed to be understanding that they're thinking.
At least, I've seen things. We've seen things in the new you where there's multiple people voices or thoughts, and they have like color codes,
Yeah.
at the very least to distinguish them. I don't know. Anyway, Garth, not Garth, Chris is thinking, hate flying. Just hold on tight to my hubcap and everything. People on the ground are like, wonder where they're going. Who cares? Anyway, as it rolls,
Are they
Chris.
the reader? Like, what's going on here?
Who are you? Reader insert. Chris is thinking, I wish I'd said goodbye to mom and dad. They'll be worrying. And Jack actually is sitting next to him. What's the matter, Barrett? Miss your family? I'm not the mind reader. Kathy is. Anyway, guess so, sir. Don't worry, kid. We're all family here. Just think of me as your big brother. And as the big plane banks to the west, we flash ahead of it to, it's a nice actual sunset or something. We switch over to a Soviet submarine that's coming up out of the water, and they say it's this cope, the Cape of Good Hope, where a Soviet Victor class sub makes its rendezvous with a harmless looking trawler. And it's a big like rainstorm, so everything's grayed out and difficult to see. But you get this sub that's transports this colonel from the Russians over across the decks to this, as they say, like fishing trawler that's innocent. This huge guy arrives. And, Colonel, good to have you on board. Thank you, Captain. Must get underway as soon as possible. To where? There, Captain, this coast of South Africa. I'll tell you more when we get closer. You're just going to like where you can see the coast. Why don't you just let the submarine take you? Anyway, switch over to the Battle of the Pentagon, where General Mann, who's the guy who seems to be most in charge, is looking at the situation board, which is one of those like big maps of the world with a guy pushing little board
General
boats around
Man,
on
the
it.
man's always the one in charge, I see.
He's talking to well, Captain, they're on their way. Plane load of freaks under the command of a woman. My God, man, is that the best I can do to avenge the destruction of an American city? But sir, don't sir me, Captain. It was my decision, my responsibility. I just pray to God it was the right one.
Now he's taking it seriously. He was like crapping on the Blizzard before, and like, you take those freaks or something. I thought he was just sending them kind of like expendable, like the CIA thing, but I don't know.
One last page back in the heat and humidity of South Africa. Oh, okay. The shadowy men we saw one time before. Small
With
group
the
of
ineffective
men.
ceiling fan, yeah.
We keep seeing the ceiling fan, and they keep talking about how it doesn't do anything. Our agents report that the paranormal force is on its way. They've bought the cover story, then, apparently. We have been told to expect them within the next 24 hours. All that power in our hands, and all we have to do is point them in the right direction. And this guy has a paper in his hand, and he sort of crumples it up, and we let them crush our enemies for us.
Dun dun dun.
Next issue, Confrontation. It's another just graphic, and some graphics on the war.
Yeah.
No big text pages, which Andy hated more particularly. And there we go.
Let's have 7 pages of memos between this commanding officer.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I was expecting disaster, so I was kind of pleasantly surprised that it was fine, right? But I would still put it like alongside the pit and the draft is like, I'm still kind of waiting for something to happen, right? Like, it's like a whole mini graphic novel size thing. No fighting, like,
Don't do that 787
it's a
calculation on this
lot
guy,
of
bad boy.
setup. And they haven't even set everything up, but
I had concerns about what we were getting into as well, from honestly the writing standpoint. I don't remember the war, so I do remember the back half of Merc being, the guy has like a slower pace. Things are pretty open. We see that sort of here. I'm okay with, a lot of the setup here, but yeah, I mean, you really feel like sometimes, like, let's just get the show on the road. Yeah, I don't. You'd start in media res, then maybe go back to how it started or something, something to give us some wow,
I get the intent was to kind of like start to set the scene, like there's all these different, leaders and players as the paranormals get sent to South Africa, right? So we get little snippets of what's going on in Iran and South America. I'm sorry, South Africa and with the Russians, but yeah, a lot of it just doesn't really amount to much. Like, do we need the Russians recapping the pit and then the Russians recapping, like talking about how they don't know things for a couple pages? Like,
Part where they recap the pages we've just been looking at.
yeah, like we don't know what's going on in the Pentagon, even though we have this cool spy satellite that looks like it takes pictures from 15 feet away,
There supposed to be two books, like regular books, and no, I don't think that
Yeah.
works in terms of pacing either.
And the whole scene with like them going on leave before they head out, like it seems utterly pointless. Like it doesn't build any characters. Like it didn't really build camaraderie between the characters or like, Jack and Blizzard really much. Like it just didn't really do anything.
We stay focused on the draft characters, except for this maybe new shooter guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that got a little bit of time, but then
We
still, we don't
spent
really
like
know
half a dozen
anything.
pages with
Yeah,
him, and
he
like,
shoots good, is from Brooklyn, and knows how to hotwire a car. That's all we know. Like,
better come
that's a
in.
panel.
That better be Chekhov's gun there, man. He
Yeah.
better be hot wiring a tank to get them off the battlefield by
Right.
next issue, or I'm gonna be, no, I don't know. I mean, there are literally a half a dozen new characters that got a name,
Right. I
a
mean,
confused snippet of mental activity.
I would just
Okay.
laugh if like we just never get anything out of Metallurgist and Gridlock, the guys from the draft who like never got any follow-up in any of the individual comics.
Well, if like the plane explodes and yeah, it's like Jack, Kathy Blizzard, maybe what Pitbull like land on a, South
Yeah,
Africa.
right.
That would be hilarious, sure. Oh, I guess we didn't need to know those guys.
I am heartened a little bit that they gave them guns. They've done a little better than the CIA with our favorite ladies who just kind of sent them back in. But
Just good luck. Yeah, she I guess Blizzard wanted female recruits, so man, she just should have gotten, yeah, recruited out of the CIA.
yeah.
Yeah, the guns, I don't know, they had a at least like a team name before, like Platoon Able or something, but
Yeah.
you're not getting
Where's
anything here.
Bazooka anyway? Like, shouldn't he be here? Yeah. He was in the he was at Fort
You're
Benning
right.
when
Yeah,
they had,
he was drafted here. All right.
like the showdown with Psi-Force and stuff.
Right. Yeah, the one I was thinking about was there was a guy named Anderson, I think. Remember
Yeah.
the Psi-Force issue where they're breaking him out and there's like someone shoots at Thomas or something and they're like, "Oh, Anderson, I thought you were our friend or something." It's like, okay, there's a sharpshooter maybe character who maybe comes back later. Well, now we've got Sano, so I guess not. Anyway.
Anderson died on the way to his home planet.
It was.
Bazooka would have fit in, though. Like, he was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it would have added a little more, diversity as well.
And kind of a useful power set, but
Yeah, it's not like the Legion of Superheroes where everyone has to have a unique power. If you want an army squad, yeah, like strong and tough, that's a perfect power. You can, and I'll take as many of those as I can fit in the unit. You know what I mean?
yeah. You need like we need like some defensive guys though, like somebody with some shield power or teleporting or invisibility or
We've
something.
got gridlock. How much more could we possibly use? I don't
Right.
know what you're doing.
Just shoot right through his things.
You can't get through the gridlock, dude. Dude, you got gridlocked. I don't.
I mean, I guess like if they're like in a trench 30 feet away from each other, he could gridlock the other fighters or something.
It's like where like there's like a couple of cliffs and you have to get over it and they're
Oh
like,
yeah, then you could
can we
everybody can
swing
jungle
on the
gym it.
vine or this tree down? And it's like, no, stand up, back. I got this. And we're all like crawling over the
Yeah.
jungle gym.
But couldn't you make it flat? Wouldn't that be much easier, gridlock?
Don't tell me how to do my power.
He's
Yeah,
got the paranormal usefulness of guy with ladder. Possibly rope.
we like so like I say, I'm a little concerned Murray isn't good with writing powers. I'm not even sure he understands Nightmask's power.
Yeah.
And like everyone else is like either a mind reader or super strong. General, I mean, so you gotta okay, I'm not quite sure what we'll get with there. I don't know. But yeah, as you say, there's definitely some upsides to this based on maybe just the last, where a couple of the series ended up. And compared to, I'd say, the Pit and Draft, this is pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
It is not.
it's somehow more interesting than both of them.
It is. I don't know if I would call it, stand on its own the way we're kind of hoping Draft or Pit would sort of sell a new reader on the new universe. I mean, we're kind of way beyond that point, so.
Yeah, it also doesn't seem like it's going to work as a great conclusion to the new universe, just because like the majority of the screen time is non-new universe characters, and like even our squad of paranormals is half new people that we don't care about, like if it was all, if we got closure with a group of, kind of the B characters and stuff, like I think that would be a little more, I'd feel it more, I'd feel more
Yeah,
interested.
I could definitely it could have worked as like, this squad goes off, there's something for an issue or two. By the end, we draw back in more of the characters back home, DP7 and Psi-Force maybe into this fight.
Yeah.
And so we would have it would have been possible to make a conclusion. That really felt like the whole universe was doing something. I'm ge also guessing that's not actually what we're going to get at all.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like Spitfire and the Troubleshooters, Jenny got sort of an ending in DP7, and then we have Nightmask and Jack, the two paranormals from their series here, right? So we do have quite a bit,
Merc, of course, died.
right?
Supposedly,
Yeah, I think it's pretty much conclusively.
if he came back as like the final boss, I've been hiding in Russia doing
I
stabbing
would.
you all in the back.
I would settle for ran into Maul and Treetop,
That would definitely be
who had been hired by a third party and blah blah
definitely enjoy
blah.
seeing any of those characters back. So yeah, I don't know. The in terms of like what we're getting versus the creator's previous work versus how the last few issues of the mainline New You went, no. Yeah, like you said, I am in a good mood so
Yeah.
far.
Yeah.
So
Interested to see what happens for sure. Cautiously optimistic.
cautiously. We had always had a question because we started seeing references to the war come out fairly early, and so there was sort of a thought that maybe the ongoing series of graphic novels was meant to come out sort of more as we've been going along than just wait and put them all at the end of the universe. So we don't really have much inside this to tell us.
Right.
We've been saying for a long time that, Night Mask has been sort of in some backup stories, but all the stuff with Blowout was left at the end of the draft, and it was like supposed to be a building thing. And then, so I don't know. We don't have any internal indications, like if this has been a couple months past the
Yeah.
draft or a year past the draft.
Yeah, honestly, if you chopped up the war book one and turned it into a series of backup stories leading up to the war, that might have worked, you
Oh,
know?
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The backup stories that we saw, we could have switched out for the exciting parts in this.
Yeah.
I'm making quoting marks. Exciting part.
The exciting part. I mean, book two's cover is them charging up a hill with like miss directly in the way of a bunch of missiles. So like there better be some freaking action in that one, right? It's called
It better.
confrontation, right?
They yeah. So people better be shooting it. Yeah.
It'll be like
Maybe some B character, C characters dying. That'd be good. Any other thoughts on this guy? I'll give it Nukin, about a
yeah,
B, I guess.
it's one of those middle ground ones. I have a hard time calling it Nukin or the Pits, but if I had to choose, I guess I would lean Nukin. But I'm thinking like a C plus. Yeah, like it's all right.
Yeah, B minus might be more
Yeah.
reasonable, but that justice just killed me. I don't know, man.
The
To bounce back from that. I was gonna
king of
say
Coney Island.
there was a like intro article in Marvel Age 74. I even mentioned alluded to a couple of times here. There wasn't a lot in that certainly not spoiling us, except that they do promise big confrontations
Yeah, and it
and
sounded like the Night Mask following Blowout was going to be like a subplot, so.
well, it sounded. I mean, they said that it starts off with Magna Conti and his crew, and the parallel to that, Night Mask and first Blowout, and so that things will sort of tie in as they go along. But so we're seeing that, and that's about as much promise as we got.
Yeah, I would still say perhaps the high point of the book was that page transition of like, these guys are not very happy. These guys are happy, but these guys are not happy.
I had a thought actually the other day when Murray's work in the Nom started off with Michael Golden.
Right.
Remember? Golden also has can do a kind of a cartoony style that's like, or at least that's sort of part of his portfolio. And I was kind of thinking, that I wonder if there's like some, if that's part of the thought here that we get these sort of cartoony panels, or sometimes there'll be a shot of a character and it's like you went to the state fair and got a caricature of yourself or something.
Yeah. But
I don't
like,
know.
did he tell Tom Morgan to do that? Or,
Yeah, it's I mean, that's just a random thought that. For some reason, the hard-bitten war guy also likes, hey, get nutty with the
yeah.
yellow there illustration.
Yeah, I would love to hear the backstory of like who filled in that one Russian panel with the weird digital eyeballs.
Last note is probably the coloring. It is they call blue line color process, which is years before digital, but gives everything a sort of an airbrushed quality, or at least they can do airbrushed looking
Yeah.
stuff to it. So there's a lot of
Some real
tone and
gradients.
gradient tones. Apparently, it's like you the pack line. They do a blue line version of that, and then paint on top of it, and then lay in the black. You know, did on top of that photographically, so you don't sort of muddy it. But interesting. I mean, at least it's they're sort of using the graphic novel. You know, they're trying to push it a bit. So, okay,
Right.
thanks. Okay.
All
All right.
right. I guess that's it for this week. And next time we continue with our prestige format miniseries, The War.
The war number two, the unthinkable happens. World War III is declared.
That was fast.
Written by Doug Murray. Drawn by Tom Morgan. 48 pages. Hudson Paper. New Universe Graphic Album. Direct sales only. 350.
Yep, counting down to the end, only three comics to go as the war continues. Meantime, find us kickersinc.com or email at newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the war, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
Don't let the new universe die.
Was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
So, more pawns of the American devil, eh?
That's right, boys. Have a good time. Enjoy yourselves while you can.
A plane load of freaks under the command of a woman.
I think I've seen that movie. Who cares? Let's finish up and hit the club.
I'm gonna make him give back our past.